Coma Run.
Soy morena, soy negra, apréndetelo, no te equivoques conmigo. Recuerda, no oye racista, ignorante, asúmelo. Vas a tener que aguantarme.
A heart is a house for love, right? And so it's like, no, but there are legit, there are some rooms where it's like, some rooms, there's a point in your life where like love has one room. It's like a studio.
Right.
Like when you're 16, it's like, wow. I fell asleep talking to you. I wake up and I want to talk to you first thing. It's like love has like one dimension.
Right.
Then you hit like 22, it got another dimension. You hit like 28, it got another dimension, right? And sometimes it's like, I'm surprised and amazed and amused by the dimensions that I think love has taken, at least for me in my 40s, right? Because it's about so much more companionship and like my partner being a space where I can courageously speak and be heard and listen, right? And we've gotten into like a groove where he will be like, he is legitimately a friend to me in a way that I had not experienced that with other people in my past, right? And so, or earlier, younger, in the sense that like, I have always been able to hear you full of shit from a girlfriend, but I wasn't always able to hear it from a partner. Mm-hmm. And so now getting to the place where I could hear it from a partner and be like, you right.
Right.
You know, like yeah. You right. That has been a powerful space in my growth. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm also like, if I didn't have it, I'd be all right too. Like, just be like, because I also don't want to position it as being like, oh my God, it's so transformative. No, it has not been that for me. Right.
Right.
I love him dearly. Right. And I feel like I can stand confidently behind the fact that what I said earlier, right, where like my best has not always been the best, but it's the best I have to give. And mm-hmm. so if today he walked in and was like, guess what, Ev, I'm out, I would be mm-hmm. devastated, and I would be like, I gave you the best I had, so deuces, nigga. Like, live well. Live well and prosper, bruh.
Right.
And that's a thing, like, yeah.
And I'm going to miss everybody, but I'll be all right.
But I'll be all right, you know, and that's, I think that's also part of what being a little bit older gives you, is like this kind of like, I'll be all right, you know, I will be all right. And that's an important thing, but I mean, it's just this, I think that
it sounds like age insecurity. Like, and it's not to say that everybody will have the option or the access to security. but in our context and what we're talking about, the aging process, I feel for me personally, I've gained more stability and security. And I feel that with that security and stability, I'm able to flourish in more ways, in various ways. And also because of the storm and the fire that I've been through myself and with my partner, I can look back and be like, wow, we can do anything.
Yeah.
And like I often say that, we can do anything. I can do anything.
Yeah. And it's a fascinating thing sometimes. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for like navigating the storms in love, right? Because we're so used to expecting them that we don't even acknowledge when we have successfully like navigated them, because we're always like, oh, well, you know, it's supposed to be challenging. And it's like, no, it's not, it doesn't always have to be challenging. And we have a right to be like, wow, it was challenging and we survived it. We have a responsibility to like celebrate ourselves. And so I think that that's one of the things that white supremacy culture robs us of, is the ability to like really celebrate our wins. Because we always fucking waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
You know, right. That's why I think that when we go to things where people do celebrate their wins, we don't know how to act. And by we, I mean me. Because let me tell you something. You invite me to like a baby shower or a wedding. I'm gonna be the first motherfucker doing an electric slide. I'm winning
like all at my time. Like at my wedding. I'm always you are officiating.
Yes, I started the electric slide at your wedding, right? Nice. But it's like I'd be so excited to have somebody celebrate a win and to celebrate it because it's something that we are so routinely robbed of. And right. So as we start to think about how we want to really like, how do we take the learning that we have? Because we have so much knowledge now, right. So much access to it. And like, how do we create this space where we are, where we shift from celebrating white fuckery and shift to celebrating black everything, right? Because that's just what it is. Like, we deserve it to be like, bitch, it's Tuesday!
Hello. Hello. And this is something like you said about the stores and celebrating your wins, because I remember when we were having a extremely hard time last year with migration, immigration stuff. And I was hysterical on the phone with my partner. And he was like, look, Dash, we've been through so much. He's like, you're crying. I understand why you're crying. But he's like, I'm in good health. You're in good health. We have a roof over our heads. We have food. We have, you know, we're both doing well. And we've been through all these storms. He's like, tell me now if we're gonna drown. He's like, we're in this ocean. Tell me now if you're gonna let us drown. Let me know. He was like, avísame. He's like, are we gonna drown now? After all that, we're gonna drown now. And I just kept replaying that. I'm like, damn, you right.
But it's so important to be able to like do the work to reclaim joy, because there are infinite spaces and places that are committed and created to rob us from it, right? And there's sometimes I remember my mom used to be like, "Ella se ahoga en un vaso de agua," right? That was like a saying that, you know, we would say about some people, so probably drown in a cup of water. And I remember, and it's like just remembering that, like, for everybody who's listening out there, like, you have what it takes to build the life of your dreams. Like, you have what it takes to have the ultra, whatever it is that you fucking want, right? Fame, finances, fucking fuckery, whatever, right? Like, I just wanted it to be all F's.
But no, you do be right. You be doing the, what is it, assimilation?
Yeah, alliteration or whatever, right?
What is it called? Alliteration? I was like, assimilation?
No.
Alliteration.
But it's like, but you know what? Because I remember years ago, me and my homegirls went to Cancun, right? And we saw this, you know, like when you go with your homegirls and you like having that group trip and you do like all the activities. So in this case, with activity was snorkeling, right? And we go and we snorkeling and, you know, we take the little boat. So it's like a 2-person little speedboat and you like, it was right. I'm old, right? I'm older. So like, it was right around the time, like maybe after Hypnotize. You know when, like, I don't know if y'all remember the video with Biggie, Hypnotize, when they was like riding.
No!
So we riding now. We ride, bitch, we riding. So we riding. I'm actually doing like the riding thing now, right? Like I'm pulling up. So we get to like the snorkeling area. And all of a sudden it's like all we see is like all the little boats that are parked in water, right? And we were just like, ah! So we started screaming. We're like, we can't swim. We're from New York City. We can't swim, right? And legit, we couldn't swim.
Oh my God.
They had given us fins. They had given us like a little, like the little life vest. You get like the little snorkeling thing that you hold in your mouth and you get air from like the top or whatever. Well, from the top. Outside of the ocean. Right. So we're all screaming. I mean, we jump out. We're like holding on to the side of the boat. It's a whole show, honey. Right. Next thing you know, and mind you, it's like, you know, they do it in groups. So it was probably 12. It was probably 12 little boats. So all of a sudden we are, you know, and we're like, half of the boats, they just kind of like, half the people in the boats, they left. They started going to the snorkeling site. And meanwhile, we are like screaming, like, ah, oh my God, it's so scary. Here come the little man that is, and I said little because he was short. Mm-hmm. Like the little man that was the tour guide. And he's just like, what's wrong with y'all? Like, you know, basically like what is the, what's the problem? And we were like, we can't swim, like holding on to the side of the little boat, whatever. And he goes, put your feet down. When he said, put your feet down, no. I was like, no, it's because I'm the shortest one out of my friends. I'm like, no, I'm gonna just go over. I'm 5 feet tall, y'all. That shit went straight to like my neck. Like I could stand up perfectly fine in the ocean after making a friggin' show with my friends about how we couldn't do it or whatever. And it was like, it was a life lesson for me, right? That just hold on, because you will get, right? First of all, the shit don't, it's almost never as tough as you think it is, right? And that it all depends on the community. All you need is one fucking person to be like, you got this, bitch, sometimes. Sometimes that's all you need, because all we needed, it was, I was in community with other people who were afraid like me, right? Mm-hmm. So if I was in community with other people that were afraid like me, we was all gonna be afraid together.
Right?
It was literally one person from outside that came in and was like, stand up. And we went from like, ah!
Oh.
Straight silence. And you know what? 8 minutes later, we were like, look at the fish! Because we were all swimming, we were finning, we were doing all our things in the...
weren't swimming. You know, you didn't know how to swim.
I didn't know how to swim. Yes, because they were like, just move. He basically was like, oh, you have the fins on. So just...
use your fins, bitch!
Use your fins, bitch! And it was like, you... and it was a reminder that it was like, you already have what it takes. And years later, right, I started training and like restorative justice and practices. And like one of the 7 core assumptions is that everything we need to be great is already in the room. And I always, every time I think about that, or every time I read that statement in like one of the workshops or like a training or anything, I'm always going back to the fact that like, yes, everything you need is already in the room and you have what it takes already. I already had the fins. I had the snorkel. I had the vest. I wasn't too short for the water. Mm-hmm. All I needed was one person to believe that I could do it, right? And that's just the way that it happens. And so it's like at any given stage, we have the capacity to be that one person, right? To be that one person. So in this case, it's like Yuko was that for you. It was just like, shit or get off the pot.
Right, bitch, stand up.
You gonna love me? You gonna revel in this black, joyous, revolutionary love? Or you gonna be a weak bitch and bounce? Right,
or you're gonna drown. Right, no, right. You're gonna be a weak bitch and drown.
You're a weak bitch and drown after all of the shit that we done been through, right? And here's the thing, that if you're going through a lot of shit, it's legit, right? When you're going through shit, it feels insurmountable. It feels like every day is a year, and you're not going to be able to make it. And then guess what? You fucking make it,
right?
And there's that beautiful thing, and I think that that's the energy that like Black people, Black women have time and again, of like, bitch, it's insurmountable. And then all it takes is one person. And sometimes those people they don't tell it to you nice, but they gonna tell you, you're gonna get it, right? And those are the people that we sometimes love the most. Like my mom and my sister used to have this running joke, because my mom and my sister are very close. And I guess that at one point when my mom was like, I don't know, her early 40s or whatever, she told my sister, she was like, ya no quiero vivir. Like, I don't want to live anymore. These bills got me going. Like, you know, like I can't deal anymore. And my sister, in her infinite Virgo simplicity and wisdom, was like, you can't die. We can't afford to bury you. And that was it. Like, you got to keep living. You got to keep
living. Who paying for your death? Who paying for that?
You're causing more debt by dying? You about to live.
More death by dying. More death. More death by dying.
You gotta live.
That death. That's death.
Right. You ain't gonna put us in more debt. Right? And that was so it was like this funny thing where, like, you know, whenever as an adult I've gotten sad or whatever, I call her and I'm like, I can't even afford to die. He'll be like, yep, because ain't nobody, we can't afford to bury you, so you got to get to getting it. You got to stand the fuck up and get your life, because listen, that's just what it is. I mean, nowadays niggas got GoFundMe, so let's just be clear, right? That would be. But that this was like in the 90s, so we ain't even have good internet in the 90s.
Right.
The disc. Shout out to everybody that had like the AOL disc.
The dial-up.
Put in. Oh, shout out to broadband.
No, for real.
It's like,
for real.
That shit is a connector. Like,
we used to sleep on the internet when our parents were sleeping,
and that shit was loud too.
Yes, yeah, but God forbid, like maybe they wake up and had to make a late night call, and they heard, they're like, "Who is on the internet?"
They'd be like, "Delete," or whatever. Not even delete. They'd be like, "Unplug." I used to wake up. Let me tell you something. This is how trifling. I used to crawl at my mother's floor in the middle of the night, and I used to like unplug. Like, you know how you remember he said phone jack?
Mm-hmm.
I used to unplug the phone from the jack, so she'd be like, "Something wrong with the phone," and that would give me enough time to be able to like get off my call or log off, tell the people on Black Planet bye for the night.
Right, right. Right, but we couldn't because it was in their room, and my mother wakes up for any, like, a fly. She wakes up, like, it's crazy. Till this day, like, you can't. You know, she got the mom guard.
It was funny as hell, but, you know, it's just, like, the reality that, like, there's so much that we have to really think about, and I feel like this time offers us an opportunity to think about what we gonna be intentional about, and what do we already have. Right? What energy, what spirit, what drive, what community, right, do we have to be able to support us in creating the type of life that we want to experience for ourselves and with anyone else that we choose to share it with, right? And that's an important thing. I think that thinking about if you want children or how you want them, right? If you're going to adopt, if you're going to, you know, there's so many different ways to build family. That what and how you do it really does matter, right? And your process and your entry point to that process is so critical. But oh man, this made me laugh, Dash. That shit was funny as hell.
What, the bitch stand up?
Bitch stand up, yeah. Bitch stand up. I
and use your fins.
And use your fucking fins, right? Stand up, and you know what, it's so funny because today we're recording this and it is International Women's Day, and the hashtag, the theme is choose to challenge, right? And so like, bitch stand up and choose to challenge. So the question is, what the fuck are you choosing to challenge, and how are you going to use your energy to be able to create the life that you so richly deserve?
With intention.
And on that note, party people, yeah. Ripeness, where I would say my tagline is party like a rock star, fuck like a porn star, and shoot to the sky like the rocket you are.
Oh, wow. You're really good at rhyming and all that. Like, you sure you should be a rapper, like on the 40-year-old version?
I'm like, if they do the 40-year-old version part two, it'll be like, bitch, 48-year-old version